Hello, West Liberty. This is Lainey, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. I want to thank you all for tuning in today because it is the third program of our passionately vocal series, Academic Affairs. And with me today is a very special guest. If you're a student at West Liberty University, you've seen him, you've met him, and if you're involved in campus organizational life, you've probably been to his house. We have none other than West Liberty University's president, Dr. Borchers. How are you doing today, doctor?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Dr. Borchers started his position here at West Liberty just within the past year, but he has an extensive academic background in leadership. But before moving to West Liberty, he held the position of vice president at Peru State College. But before we get into that, I'd like to talk a little bit about your academic journey that led you here to West Liberty.
Sure.
So throwing it back to whenever you were in college, did you always know that you wanted to go the administrative route, or how did you come across this academic career plan?
Probably I didn't have any idea that I'd ever be a university president. In college, I started off as a journalism major, so started with that. Quickly moved over to communication studies. The faculty were very attentive and very supportive there. I was on the speech team at the University of Nebraska, so we were very close to our faculty members. So it was just an easy transition to come over to be a communication major. Had a lot of great support from them over the years. Traveled extensively across the United States, competing in speech and a little bit of debate, but mostly speech. And then graduation came, and the natural step was just to go to graduate school, because that's what a lot of us did, and my wife included. So we went to graduate school at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan. Both my wife and I, we did our master's there in 2 years, and then went straight through and did our PhD in 3 years. So 5 years total. Enjoyed it. Did a few leadership type projects as a graduate student there. Mm-hmm. They had, like we have here, a graduate student leadership committee. So I was on that for the university. Did a few other things, but never really thought, oh, I'm going to be an administrator. First job out of graduate school was up at Minnesota State University Moorhead, which is in Moorhead, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I started off as the head speech coach there and a faculty member. So I coached the speech team and traveled with the students there, did a few things. But there were a few things that probably happened early on that sparked my interest in being an academic leader. The first was I was the only real full-time faculty member in the speech area of the department. So
Okay. There
were a lot of leadership things that came my way in terms of having to figure out curriculum, having to figure out courses, having to figure out which faculty we should hire for which positions. So started to do that. And quickly I started to serve on some university committees. One was about technology. So we helped bring some of the first wireless access points to the university and several other things that just developed during my time there. I kind of had a habit of just saying yes to everything that came my way. So students, that's a good way to advance in your career. Just say yes to everything. But before long, I applied to be the associate dean of two of the colleges there, actually. Mm-hmm. I worked pretty closely on assessment, on accreditation, on student recruitment. And then I thought, well, that was a 2-year stint right before our accreditation visit. So I thought, well, I'll just go back to the faculty now and live a nice, happy life as a faculty member. I was department chair, and I was on sabbatical. So it was kind of nice spring semester working on some projects. I had written at least one book at that point and was working on another one. And then our dean abruptly left to take a position elsewhere. So all of a sudden, I threw my name into the hat to be an interim dean and got that appointment and did that for a couple of years and then applied to be the permanent dean. Again, just kept saying yes to things and interviewed for that position, got that job, and did that for probably another 5 years. So 7 years total as a dean up at Moorhead.
Wow.
And then after 7 years and 19 total years at Moorhead, decided it was time to look around and look for some other positions, and saw the position down in Nebraska where I was from originally. So it was kind of fun to go back home, so to speak. And so took the position down there and thought, well, I'll do this for a few years. And it ended up being 8 years that I was down there and then started looking for other positions. And then I ended up here at West Liberty.
So I have to ask, you said you were on whenever you were in college, you were on the speech team, and then you became a speech coach. What does that look like? What does that entail?
Well, being on the speech team, it's a lot like being on an athletic team.
Okay.
So we competed, you know, 5 or 6 different events, and we traveled probably about every other weekend during the course of the semester. And when I was at Nebraska, that really was a national circuit that we traveled, a lot of local tournaments, but we also went to New York City during our time there. We went to Arizona. We would go to Illinois quite a bit because they were pretty good at speech. So it was a lot of hours in a van, a lot of time practicing, memorizing speeches.
Wow.
And then as a speech coach, then you're doing it on the other side. You're helping the students prepare their events, practice their events, and then driving the van, taking them to tournaments, and coaches judge at tournaments. And, you know, we had pretty good success. And so it was a fun time to do that. Easily burned out, though, because you're traveling a lot. And when you have a family, young kids, it kind of made that a little bit difficult. So when the opportunity came for me to move out of that position and bring someone else into it, I did that after a few years at Morehead.
It's very interesting. I wonder if we should get a speech team here at West Liberty.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So obviously you said that you have an undergrad in communication. I am also in the communication field, so I think that's awesome. But how has this degree helped you throughout your career?
Oh, it's been so helpful. You know, I do a lot of speaking, whether it's an interview like this or a public presentation like I did yesterday at the town hall or other campus-wide events. So a lot of presenting, but a lot of assembling information for people to digest. So I think a lot of communication is really thinking about organization. It's thinking about evidence. It's thinking about how you can best present something to an audience. And so whether that's in writing or through a presentation, I think it's been really helpful to just help me understand what points are salient for a discussion, what points need to be presented, and then organize that information in a way for people to consume. So I use it all the time. I think it's a natural lead into to leadership. There's a lot of leadership traits and a lot of leadership theories that are based on communication theory. So it has been a really smooth transition. And actually, there's quite a few people in communication who are university presidents around the way. The president over at Fairmont State, he started same time that I did. He's also a communication person. So
okay.
So we've connected a little bit.
Awesome. I love talking to people that are also in the communication field. I think the degree itself sometimes gets a little bit of smack, a little bit of bad rep that it's not useful, but I definitely disagree, and I'm sure you would as well, obviously.
Yep.
So back in Peru State College, which is where you were vice president, let's talk a little bit about your position there. How did you make that jump to being vice president? I mean, obviously now you're president, but getting to that position of VP, how did you come about that?
Well, I'd had a lot of experiences that really lent itself well to scaling up. So some of the curriculum management, some of the developing new programs, strategic planning, a lot of that was just a real natural fit for a vice president position. But as soon as I started there, that was a great institution. I worked for a great president, had some really great colleagues there, and we were able to do some really fun things, a lot of which has really prepared me for the job here. But really working with faculty, working with staff to make sure that students were supported, to make sure that they had experiences to prepare them for their next step in their lives, that was a big part of what we did there. We went through COVID together there, like I'm sure you all did here at some point in your academic career. Went through COVID. We did a lot of planning to grow enrollment and had some really good success with that. Certainly dealt with some budget deficits and some challenges related to enrollment like we've seen at other institutions. So there was just a lot of things that I did there. Probably one of the biggest things was really understanding technology, how technology can help support the academic structure. Mm. We used a lot of software there, but we had it really well linked together so that it was able to be used easily and to make a real difference for our students.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up this portion of our interview at Peru State College, I have to know, what was your favorite part about working there, or just being at the school in general, I guess?
Well, it was a beautiful place to be. Very, very good surroundings, very good environment. But I think just being able to work across the different lines with my other vice president counterparts there, working with the deans, working with the faculty, it was just a really comfortable way that if a problem came up, we quickly got together and figured out a solution to it. And it was all for the students. So I would say working together to benefit the students and still keep in touch with some of those people and the relationships there, I think, were critically important.
Awesome. Well, I do want to thank you, Dr. Borchers, for giving us a little bit of insight into your academic journey before moving here to West Liberty. And for everyone listening, don't go anywhere because we'll be right back after a short break with more for this special edition of Passionately Vocal Academic Affairs Session to take a look at Dr. Borchers' position here at West Liberty University. So I am Lainey, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Are you constantly feeling homesick? Then tune in to WGLZ 91.5 FM to hear all of your favorite radio hits. West Liberty, where the hilltop is home.
Welcome back to WGLZ 91.5 FM, where we are college radio and we are passionately vocal. With me still is Dr. Borchers, the current president of West Liberty University. Before the break, we talked a bit about your academic journey before coming to West Lib, but of course, now we want to get into your academic career here on campus. So first and foremost, what drew you into West Liberty? I know it's a small little town on top of a hill, but what led you here? What drew you in?
Well, actually, Peru State College, where I was previously, was a small little college on the top of a hill. Yeah, the oldest school in Nebraska. Okay. So when I saw the job open up here, it certainly resonated with me in terms of the tradition it had. It's a little hillier here. Well, it's quite a bit hillier here, but mm-hmm. we were still pretty hilly in southeast Nebraska. People don't often realize that. But very similar student population makeup, very a little bit larger here. So I was interested in something that maybe was a little bit larger. But I had been looking at a lot of jobs last year. Like I said, I felt it was just time to move on. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was time to find something else. So I had a lot of job applications out, had a couple of interviews last year, both fall and spring on campus. And so when I saw the job open up here, I thought, well, this seems like a really natural fit for me in terms of just everything, the similarity. And so I'd been looking around, let people know that I was interested. They were working with a search firm here that was out cultivating people. So I let them know, put in an application, and before I knew it, I was doing a Zoom interview, and that went well, and got invited to campus. Came to campus last April and had a full almost, well, 3 days pretty much, with a dinner one day and a breakfast the last day, but a full day on campus, meeting with students, meeting with faculty, staff, the board members. Really a good experience, sharing my ideas, sharing my background with them. And obviously, it seemed to click pretty well because here I am.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a small-ish school on top of a hill, look no further than West Liberty. It's almost perfect. And how did you come across the actual option to work here? I know you mentioned the search form, but I mean, it kind of sounds, to me at least, it almost sounds like it was meant to be. So how did you come across the option?
Well, there are job boards out there. And so, you know, every morning I would look to see what new positions were posted overnight. And so when I saw this, that was probably the first way that I saw it. And then I made the connection here. But yeah, it does seem like it was just meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, there were other jobs I was looking at and one, you know, pretty interested in, but didn't end up working out there, but it did here. So yeah, it did feel like this was just the right place to be. I think when my wife and I came out for the interview last April, we left with such good feelings and such a positive impression of the university. And honestly, that we had lunch with several students and they provided such a positive interaction with us. And it was just so fun talking with them.
Yeah.
That really made a big difference, the students here.
And what would you say your favorite thing about West Liberty is so far? I know it hasn't been all that long, but this far into your career here, what's your favorite part about being here on the hilltop?
It's hard to list just one favorite thing. obviously, it's a beautiful place and, mm-hmm. and a lot of fun things to do in the area. A lot of really good people, good programs. I have to say the interactions that I've had with students have been very, very positive. I find students are easy to talk to. You're all very serious and very dedicated and committed to your studies. And I think that shows in the kinds of professionalism, like the interview that we're having here today is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. But just the students here really are taking their education seriously. They're involved in all kinds of different activities. Whether it's athletics or the Greek system or student organizations, they take a lot of initiative. We had the Topper Thrift fashion show last week. That was fabulous. So there's just so many examples, I think, of how the students here are, like I say, very hardworking, very dedicated, very committed to their studies. And it's been great getting to know them.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you're very involved on campus, very involved in student life. I know you had mentioned before that you've done some podcasting here on campus with some different organizations. I know you've been to a couple of the sustainability committee meetings. So a little bit of everything, a little bit of this and that. So I'm interested to know what one of your visions for our campus is.
Well, we're actually going through a process right now. Strategic planning kind of sounds boring, but it's a good way that we're trying to get a lot of ideas on the table to really figure out what it is that we want to do that will set West Liberty apart from other institutions. So I want it to be that when students graduate from here, that they go to a job interview and the employers already have this idea that, oh, they're from West Liberty. They're going to have a high ability to do the job. So really, it's looking at what we need to do to make sure that we're preparing students for that next step in their lives. So the kinds of opportunities that they have, the kinds of experiences that they have, internships, experiential learning, that's all critically important. Study abroad. Career services is an area that I'd really like to develop more so that mm-hmm. students are definitely ready to go. Being engaged with topics like sustainability, I think, are going to be critical for our students going into the workforce. No matter what kind of job they're going into, they're going to need to really be up to date on what's happening in our world and how their job will contribute to that. So it's hard for me to pinpoint an exact vision at this point, since mm-hmm. we're still having a lot of discussions about that. But by the end of the spring semester, I think we'll have some very good plans in place. We've had a lot of good sessions already. But I would say experiential learning, preparing students for the workforce, contributing to our community, those are all going to be critical factors in that vision.
Awesome. Seems like we have some big changes coming to campus, hopefully.
I don't think
the sound
some
of that.
Big changes. I think there's a good foundation here to really build on. And I think it's going to be maybe putting a sharper point on some of those items that we do, but really trying to hone in and focus our efforts.
Yeah. As a student, that's very exciting to hear. I think that's awesome. Throwing it back just a little bit here, back in the beginning, I made a joke that a lot of students have been to your house. Mm-hmm. But what makes it so important to you to have that one-on-one connection with the student body?
I think, well, there's probably a lot of reasons for it. First, it's enjoyable mm-hmm. being able to get to know students. I think it's also really important that students feel like they belong. And I think that is up to all of us to make students feel like they belong here, because there's so much research that shows that if students feel like they have a sense of belonging, if they feel like they have a sense of self-efficacy, of purpose, then they're going to persist and complete their degree. It's just really sad when students drop out and then they have that debt. They don't have the college degree. So I think it's really important that we help students be successful. And if my wife and I can help it feel like students have a home here, that they feel like they belong, I think that's just one small way that we can contribute to that. And also, I think it's great for them to feel like they're engaged with each other, they connect with each other, and it's fun. You know, we had the back to school event the Sunday before classes came. We had the steel drum band playing. We had all kinds of good food from Aladdin, mm-hmm. and people just really had a fun time. And I think it's an important part of the college experience to have fun and to be engaged like that. So it's a small way, I think, of contributing, but it's a pretty fun way. And I would say, students, if you don't have Thanksgiving plans yet, we're cooking turkeys and we will have a full spread 1 to 3 on Thursday. If you don't have a place to go, feel free to come up to Colonial Heights. And we'll have a fun Thanksgiving dinner with other students.
Swing by the President's House for Thanksgiving. You heard it here first. Well, Dr. Borchers, I do want to thank you very much. I know you have a very busy schedule, but I want to thank you a lot for being here today on this edition of Passionately Vocal Academic Affairs. I am Lainey, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.